But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with the latest on college campus protests, move on to how the State Department is funding Netanyahu's genocide, and follow all of that up with the latest update to our ongoing docuseries, Do Real Men Really Wear Diapers? Let's begin, shall we? One of the most American things any American could ever American happened this week, and the boomers are not happy about it.
Protests at Columbia University continued well into the night after the school began suspending protesting students, refusing to leave the encampment. But those demonstrations escalated into an outright occupation.
Protesters here in New York at Columbia barricaded themselves inside the school, and now the university is taking more action.
Pro-Palestinian protesters gathering outside Columbia University's Hamilton Hall, and then storming the building.
But shortly after midnight, a student smashed a window of Hamilton Hall with a hammer. The group Columbia Students for Justice in Palestine says that dozens have barricaded themselves inside Hamilton Hall using furniture and other objects to blockade the doors.
Video capturing students slamming desks, breaking windows, and barricading themselves inside.
Okay, sounds to me like Gen Z is just following in their grandparents' footsteps, protesting on college campuses for humanitarian rights and shit. Just like the boomers before them, these protests are not only their constitutional right, they are the forerunner for change. And you'd think there would be some nostalgic support from the elders running this country. What with the students at Columbia choosing Hamilton Hall to barricade themselves in, savagely using the training they got from all of those active shooter drills, I might add. Clever kids. But anywho, I digress. I was about to discuss the significance of Hamilton Hall in all of this, but I'll just play a clip about it instead. Roll tape.
Well, this building is known for student takeovers, Hamilton Hall. Hamilton Hall was named for Alexander Hamilton, the Treasury Secretary, and it's famous in part because it was occupied by students back in 1968 amid protests against the Vietnam War. It was taken over again in 1972, also about the war, and then again in 1985 to protest apartheid.
They want to see the university divest from companies that may be profiting from Israel.
Yeah, that makes total sense. See, this is why I am so confused by the vitriol coming out of those who were in college in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Because y'all did this too. You protested just like Gen Z is doing right now over things like segregation, the Vietnam War, South African apartheid. But now that your grandkids are protesting against the very much on purpose unaliving of 34,000 innocent Palestinians, and you threaten the National Guard while deploying IDF-trained police officers to destroy their encampments and rough them up just to make sure they don't try this shit again. Solid get off my lawn move, boomers.
I wanted to speak a few moments about what's going on our college campuses here. We are not an authoritarian nation where we silence people or squash dissent. In fact, peaceful protest is in the best tradition of how Americans respond to consequential issues. But neither are we a lawless country. Violent protest is not protected. Destroying property is not a peaceful protest. Vandalism, trespassing, breaking windows, shutting down campuses, forcing the cancellation of classes and graduations. None of this is a peaceful protest. Threatening people, intimidating people, instilling fear in people is not peaceful protest. It's against the law. Dissent is essential to democracy, but dissent must never lead to disorder or to denying the rights of others so students can finish the semester and their college education.
Joe. What are you doing in an election year? Not to mention the fact that it was your generation who started the whole taking over buildings on college campuses in protest for the rights of others. Did you forget where you came from, or have you lived long enough to become the villain of your own story? Because according to one of the few boomers on the right side of history and maple syrup, Mr. Bernie Sanders, sounds like you're too old for this shit.
It is important to understand why these protesters are out there, not because they are pro-Hamas or outraged by what the Israeli government is now doing in Gaza, where 5% of the population have been killed or wounded. Hundreds of thousands of children face starvation because Israel is refusing to allow humanitarian aid to get to where it has to go. Two-thirds of the homes in Gaza have been destroyed. The entire civilian infrastructure, water, electricity, has been annihilated. Every university in Gaza has been bombed. And they are out there for the right reasons, to protest U.S. continued military aid and money to a right-wing extremist Netanyahu government, which is in a destructive war against the Palestinian people.
Seriously, Joe, listen to your old pal Bernie. He got arrested at the University of Chicago a million years ago in the 60s for the same thing the kids at Columbia just did. So I'd say he knows a thing or two about changing the nursing home wisdom of the old men running the government. And no amount of having Mark Hamill at the White House the same week as May the 4th be with you is going to make up for the fact that your response to the protests on college campuses was giving your protesting wrong vibes. A tactic used by the bureaucrats getting something out of the suffering of others that came before you. But I gotta say, it is a ballsy stance considering you need the 18 to 35 demographic to vote for you in 6 months, especially after this came out.
The U.S. weighs whether it should restrict aid to an Israeli military unit after determining it was one of three credibly implicated in gross human rights violations against Palestinians. That was prior to October 7th. In an undated letter obtained by NBC News, Secretary of State Antony Blinken wrote to Speaker Mike Johnson that it was still under review. The two other units will continue to receive military assistance despite those concerns because the U.S. says it was given assurances from the Israeli government.
The State Department employees sent up evidence of gross violations of human rights that Israel has not remediated, has not held people accountable for. And where have those memos been? Sitting with the Secretary of State.
News about the three Israeli groups or battalions, if you will, accused of human rights abuses contradicted what you were told in your briefing. Any reason why they are not acting on it?
That is exactly the right question that Congress now needs to be asking. What has happened at the State Department, and who, if anyone, besides Secretary Blinken, may be implicated in this decision?
I'm sorry. What was that, California Congressmom Katie Porter, who is currently running for a Senate seat and knows she needs the youth vote to win it? Did you happen to say that the State Department knows they are sending our tax dollars to fund crimes against humanitarian law committed by the Israeli military? Which is a direct violation of the Leahy Act, but doing it anyway because our support for Israel is unwavering? Explain this, Leahy Act, us, and why the U.S. State Department is an accessory to Israel's extermination campaign.
Well, under the Leahy laws, the remedy here is if a military unit, if a gross violation of human rights has been committed and the country has not held the perpetrators responsible, then aid to that unit must not go. It must not be received. U.S. cannot send it legally. And so the administration needs to follow that rule here for these Israeli units, just like we do for other countries that we have found have engaged in gross human rights violations and perpetrators haven't been held accountable.
Oh, so all the State Department needs is a bit of credible evidence of human rights violations, and our tax dollars quit funding those battalions. Or at least that's how it's supposed to go. Katie knows about three Israeli IDF battalions that have been found to be genocidal in their operations, and that is bad enough. But folks, it's worse than even Congresswoman Katie. I'm totally not coming out with this now because I want to get on Gen Z's good side before the election, Porter is aware of. Here is a spokesperson for the State Department explaining to the press how much worse it actually is.
After a careful process, we found five Israeli units responsible for individual incidents of gross violations of human rights. All of these were incidents much before October 7th, and none took place in Gaza. Four of these units have effectively remediated these violations.
I'm so sorry. Douchebag says what? There are five, not three, battalions who are killing in the name of Israel's right to defend itself before Israel started systematically extincting the Palestinian people in Gaza? What the actual fuck? Well, it does make sense when you consider the U.S. consistently votes against Israel violating humanitarian law at the U.N., but most Americans don't even know that that is happening. Publicly, Biden's been waving his wrinkled finger at the genocidal nutter running Israel and sending aid to the Gaza Strip simultaneously. But now we know that on the lowdown, the U.S. is financially supporting Israeli forces who are known for their SS way of soldiering. Thanks to Katie, I once publicly condemned anyone not supporting Israel's extermination campaign in Gaza, but now that I need your vote, I'm exposing something sussy, Porter. And this savvy reporter who questioned the State Department rep on why his uppers are violating U.S. law just to help out their old pal, the Israeli government. Roll tape.
I'm confused. Do you know whether or not the Israelis have remediated this unit?
That is essentially what we are engaging with them on as it relates to this. In these five individual incidents of gross violations of human rights, or for four of these units, they have effectively remediated those violations. As it relates to this remaining unit, the government of Israel has submitted additional information. We are currently reviewing it.
But the answer is you don't know. But the law says no assistance shall be furnished to any unit of the security forces of a foreign country if the Secretary of State has credible information that such unit has committed a gross violation of human rights. So you've made that determination that they have committed a gross violation of human rights.
So I'm not
no, because you don't expert. Know, and you just said you don't know if they've remediated, and yet the Secretary said on April the 19th you had made the determinations. So I'm just really confused about what changed after April the 19th. Desert, you have determined there is a gross violation, but you don't have remediation, and I can't see any part of the law which says you might decide over a couple of days that it's been remediated and therefore keep the security assistance going.
So, like I said, this is an ongoing process.
No, it's not. Legally, all you need is credible evidence of humanitarian rights violations, which the State Department has. And therefore, you can stop funding this genocide. So that means the State Department's knowingly sending our tax dollars to at least one Israeli IDF battalion that is all 1940s Germany for Netanyahu, and Gen Z protesting until their colleges divest from Israel because they don't want their future debt obligations currently being spent on the murder of 34,000 innocent Palestinians and counting. I mean, Evergreen Community College here in Washington State figured out because the kids are protesting, maybe they should, and they are divesting from genocidal Israel. So what's your problem, Columbia University? Because I don't think refusing to divest in the nutter running Israel's final solution for the Palestinians is going to go well for you. And not in the history will not favor you kind of way, but more in like a accessory to a crime.
Israel is increasingly worried about the International Criminal Court. Israeli leaders and media reports in recent days have talked about the possibility of the ICC issuing arrest warrants against Israeli leaders and military commanders in connection to the ongoing war in Gaza.
They include Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Israel's defense minister. According to the New York Times, the Israeli officials could potentially be accused of preventing the delivery of humanitarian aid to the Gaza Strip and pursuing an excessively harsh response to the Hamas-led October 7th attacks on Israel.
We asked the International Criminal Court about this. They said that they would not comment on any potential future arrest warrants, but they have confirmed that they have opened up an investigation into the situation in Israel and the occupied Palestinian territories.
Oh no! Accountability is coming for the prime disappointment to his parents who survived the Holocaust just so he could turn around and cosplay as the former German chancellor circa 1940s. And no, it's not anti-Semitic to issue an arrest warrant for Bibi and his SS generals for trying to wipe out Palestinians living on the Gaza Strip just because this netter wants to develop waterfront property for commerce.
And now for something completely different.
With all of the anti-abortion laws forcing anyone with a Gewinnadaisy into a life of baby-making, pissing off 85% of Americans who think abortion should be accessible at least in some fashion, is it any wonder Republicans are having a problem with messaging this election season? Oh, and by the way, it doesn't help at all that possible VP pick and all-around douche South Carolina Governor Kristi Noem is out there showing off her mad puppy-killing skills. Check out this heart-crushing tale of cricket, straight out of the autobiography no one asked for, but many are demanding not even being published later this month, from the John Wick supervillain herself.
South Dakota governor is releasing a new book, a section in which she describes killing her puppy named Cricket.
Cricket was a wire hair pointer about 14 months old, she says, adding that the dog, a female, had an aggressive personality and needed to be trained to be used for hunting pheasants.
Taking Cricket on a pheasant hunt with older dogs, Noem says, she hoped to calm the young dog down and begin to teach her how to behave.
Now, unfortunately, Cricket ruined the hunt. And on the way home after the hunt, as Noem stopped to talk to a local family, Cricket escaped Noem's truck and then attacked that family's chickens.
Cricket, the untrainable dog, Noem writes, behaved like, quote, a trained assassin. Now, when Noem finally grabbed Cricket, she says, the dog whipped around to bite me.
I hated that dog, Noem writes, adding that Cricket had proved herself, quote, to be untrainable, dangerous to anyone that she came into contact with, and less than worthless as a hunting dog.
At that moment, Noem says, I realized I had to put her down. Got her gun, then led Cricket to a gravel pit. It was not a pleasant job, she writes, but it had to be done, only for a school bus to arrive and drop off Noem's children. She writes, Kennedy looked around confused, Noem writes of her daughter, who asked, hey, where's Cricket?
Yeah, Kristi, where is Cricket? Because while you meant for this story to highlight your ability to make tough decisions, it's rightfully pointing out your only solution to behavior that you find problematic is to shoot it. Or do you have another excuse for refusing to literally do anything but kill your dog?
One of Donald Trump's possible running mate contenders made this, some people would say, bizarre admission that has a lot of people angry.
South Dakota's Governor Kristi Noem is defending herself this morning over a controversial chapter in her forthcoming book.
South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem is defending her decision to kill her 14-month-old female dog, Cricket. It's a puppy, actually.
Now, she includes her story about this ill-fated Cricket, by the way, and she says to illustrate her willingness in politics as well as in South Dakota life, apparently, to do anything difficult, messy and ugly.
Noem, responding yesterday, saying, I followed the law and was being a responsible parent, dog owner, and neighbor, adding that shooting her dog wasn't easy, but often the easy way isn't the right way.
Noem posting this response on X, saying, we love animals, but tough decisions like this happen all the time on a farm.
Oh, yeah. Sure, farmers have to make these tough decisions and all that jazz, but farmers also know dogs will be dogs. Not letting your dog out of your truck and kill your neighbor's chickens is also something farmers have a firm grasp on. At least every farmer except Noem 20 years ago, when she irresponsibly allowed her knowingly untrained dog loose and then erroneously shot the animal instead of the responsible party. Which reminds me, someone should check on Kristi's kids, since we all know parenting can be very challenging, you know, with behavior issues, especially when you have a gravel pit / shallow grave conveniently located next to your house. And while we're on the subject of dumb ways to kill your career, the hush money trial in New York is going well. And by well, I mean, we learned that Michael Cohen's nickname for the lumbering lardass is Von Schützenpants. That's a win for everyone. except the maggot population, who've started wearing t-shirts that say things like, "Real men wear diapers," and "Diapers over Dems," in solidarity with their leader of allegedly solid bowel movements. And while that is a mental health issue, the latest issue of Time magazine has Donnie Depends laying out his shit-stained plans for America should he get another chance to occupy the White House. And for those of you in the back, here is the Cliff Notes version of the most Project 2025-ish responses from Von Shits and Pants. Roll tape.
This is Trump in an interview with Time magazine. Question: would you fire a U.S. attorney who didn't prosecute someone you ordered him to? Trump: it depends on the situation, honestly. Question: so you might? Trump: yeah. Question: you said we want to protect police from prosecution. What do you mean by that? Trump: police are being prosecuted all the time, and we want to give them immunity from prosecution if they're doing their job. Question: polls show a majority of your supporters have expressed the belief that anti-white racism now represents a greater problem in the country than anti-black racism. Do you agree? Trump: oh, I think that there's a lot to be said about that. I think there is a definite anti-white feeling in this country, and that can't be allowed either. Question: you've said you're going to do this massive deportation operation. I want to know specifically how you plan to do that. Trump: so if you look back to the 1950s, Dwight Eisenhower was very big on illegal immigration not coming into our country, and he did a massive deportation of people. Trump: we will be using local law enforcement. Question: does that include using the U.S. military? Trump: it would. Question: U.S. law says that you can't deploy the U.S. military against civilians. Would you override that? Trump: these aren't civilians. These are people that aren't legally in our country. This is an invasion of our country. Question: your allies in the Republican Study Committee, which makes up about 80% of the GOP caucus, have included the Life at Conception Act in their 2025 budget proposal. The measure would grant full legal rights to embryos. Is that your position as well? Trump: I'm leaving everything up to the states. Question: would you veto that bill? Trump: I don't have to do anything about vetoes because we now have it back in the states. Question: do you think states should monitor women's pregnancy so they can know if they've gotten an abortion after the ban? Trump: I think they might do that. Again, you'll have to speak to the individual states.
Seriously, I cannot even this election year, because on one hand, we've got Aviator Joe low-key using our tax dollars to fund a genocide and possibly implicating the United States as an accessory to crimes against humanity, while simultaneously alienating his biggest voter base by banning their favorite app and telling them that they're just not protesting correctly. And on the other hand, we have come over Caligula planning on remodeling America in Republican Jesus image. So my question is, how the fuck did we get here? And is there any way that we can change course without leaving a skid mark? Well, if the Lincoln Project has anything to say about it, they might just have the product that we all need to come out of this whole thing as clean as a 77-year-old man's ass.
Has this ever happened to you? You're sitting in court under pressure and stress, and then a warm feeling comes over you.
Uh-oh.
It's pressure, all right. Down there. That's when you need Trump diapers. The elite adults incontinence product for owning libs on the go. While you go, with Trump diapers, you can sit all day in luxurious comfort, whether you're busy ending democracy or just rage posting on social media without consequence. Trump diapers let you spread Russian propaganda all day in dry comfort. And Trump diapers make insurrection easy. You'll never need to poop in the Capitol again. Trump diapers, for when you're losing your shit, in more ways than one.
And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. Oh, and don't forget, Sundays at 6 p.m. Ohio time, you can re-listen to this very show on Crowtown Radio. You can follow This Week Again on social media wherever you can find us. And we're always available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And thank you so much for listening to this show. Tadur for now.